Uh-oh, the mob's here today. What brings you out in the snow today, man?
Hey, you're on.
Anything to get out of work, right?
Good afternoon, or good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak with the Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol. It's Wednesday, December 16th, for our regularly scheduled Public Service Commission meeting. I call this meeting to order. We have a number of items on... Oh, wait. I guess I won't get into that. We got to do opening comments first. Sorry.
Whatever you want, Madam Chair. It has
just
been a year
now. Dive right in.
Today, just so you know, today, a year ago today, we voted for you for chair.
Wow. Hopefully I haven't let you down too much in the past year. Got one more year to go.
I did have a conference with my colleague, and we decided we would not bring it up for vote today. Maybe next year at this time.
All right.
It was a long discussion, a lot of back and forth, but that's the way we came down.
I can understand. Believe me, after the last few weeks, I definitely understand. Okay.
More the UND, NDSU thing is what most of the discussion centered around.
Oh, man. Well, I still contend. It takes one UND rep to combat two NDSU. Makes a perfect balance. Okay, we'll for opening comments today, I just have one thing I want to mention, and that is that since this is the last regularly scheduled commission meeting of the year, we may end up getting another one. I don't think so, but you never know. Sometimes things pop up that need to be taken care of, but our plan is to make this our last of the 2015 year, and we have a number of pipeline two pipeline applications on the agenda for consideration and hopefully approval today. So I just wanted to give a quick summary on where we've been with the pipeline portfolio this year. We have approved 15 new pipeline projects in North Dakota for a total investment of about $450 million. And that included 12 crude oil lines, one ethane line, and two NGL lines. So it's been a very brisk year in the pipeline siting area. We've gotten through a lot of applications. We have two pretty substantial ones still pending. One of them, Dakota Access, that one's $1.4 billion. That, quite honestly, we've been waiting on the company to wrap some things up there for the last probably 2 months. And so that's, I expect that one to get off our plate early in the next year. And another one, the Sakakawea line that crosses the lake, that we've been working on some final arrangements with the tribes. And so we've had a lot of activity in the pipeline siting area. Kudos to the staff for getting through those applications. It's great to have the industry making these investments in North Dakota. They are long-term investments, and pipelines remain the safest, most efficient, most environmentally sound way to transport these energy products. And so we know for the long term of this industry in North Dakota, these pipelines are critical. And so I think it's been a great group effort working with industry and working with staff and working with some reclamation folks to really improve the siting and reclamation of these lines and keeping those operating safely and efficiently in our state. So that's it for my opening comments, and I'll kick it over to Commissioner Crisman for any thoughts.
Just a follow-up on your comments. Does the 15 include what's on today's agenda, or would
yes.
we add those to that total?
It includes today's.
It's an astounding number. I hadn't thought. I'm glad you took the time to add those up. I knew we had done quite a few. I did not realize that we have averaged well over one a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty remarkable, almost one every 3 weeks. And I think what's most important about those projects is it's not that they were rubber stamped. It's that they were given thoughtful consideration, appropriate adjustments were sometimes required, but they weren't just lost in space and held up in that way, but they were taken care of appropriately and approved. So appreciate you adding that all up. It reminds me sort of one of the problems that I see out of Washington, D.C., and the one comment I was going to make today is that Jim Deitch, our Reclamation and AML director, is in Denver, and And he's going to be meeting with some people and among other things, talking about the stream protection rule, which is a potential devastating rule to the North Dakota coal industry. It's devised more for issues in the Appalachia region and just makes mining in North Dakota all but impossible. And so he's working on that. And when you talk about getting these pipeline projects taken care of appropriately and then ultimately approved, it just reminds me that stream protection rule is what I personally consider part of the three-prong approach to try and bankrupt coal from the administration. We talk a lot about the clean power plan, a little bit less, but it's ultimately just as damaging to the coal industry with that stream protection rule that Jim's working on. And then the third prong, of course, is the way applications for leases from BLM, and they're not denied, they just never seem to occur anymore and linger on year after year. And that's what I'm so proud of that here at the commission, whether it's our citing cases of pipelines that you talked about, or really all the various divisions that we have here. And now I'm getting into my reflecting part, because it's just 3 years ago that you, Commissioner Fedorchak, and I were sitting over here where Sarah's sitting, yeah. And watching the last meeting with our predecessors, and at least I'll speak for myself, wondering if I had gotten into something over my head, and how I'm going to learn who all these people are that we deal with here frequently, and what issues we might encounter. And the thing that I'm most appreciative of is that in really all of our divisions, whether it's a simple thing or something that's complex and needs a lot of alterations, or something that ultimately we're going to deny, the things don't just linger. People get answers. And that happens, I think, because of our philosophies of moving things along, but also in large part kudos to our staff that get these things taken care of and done. And I'm so appreciative of our staff that have made these last 3 years a more wonderful experience than I would have ever imagined.
I would echo that, and I would also say that kudos to the legislature for giving us the resources, and in the case of siting, adding additional staff to help us work through these projects in as timely a manner as we can without, you know, shortchanging the approval and review process and doing a really thorough job there. So I did want to also mention, I noted on the news this morning that there's been a compromise reached out in D.C. on some of the spending bills, and included in that is a compromise to lift the crude oil export ban, which is a great move. I hope that that proceeds and is signed by the president. And also, in exchange for that, it sounds like they plan to extend the renewable energy tax credits, so extending the wind production tax credit till 2022, I believe, and the solar to a similar date. Maybe it was 2023. So if that proceeds as is being discussed right now, we'll be seeing a continuation of very brisk siting, I would assume, in the wind area as well. So, Commissioner Kolk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just follow on what Randy's line of discussion was. Just, I was thinking the same thing, that 3 years ago the commission completely changed shape. And I'll tell you that, too, thank you guys both, because it's been a good 3 years, and I really enjoy working with both of you. I think we have a good balance here of different perspectives we bring to the table, and I can't think of one time in 3 years where we've taken anything personal. You make your decisions, you move through, we take care of each other, and I really appreciate that. And the staff, just today I've got 25 motions, which is more than I've ever had, right? And the staff put them all together, and I had a whole bunch of questions for everyone, and they always pull together for us, and we've got a really good team here. And I'm hopeful we can keep it rolling. And I want to announce today that I've got a new call sign for Jerry Lynn. He's now Scotty. Like, if those of you that watch Star Trek, you know Scotty. Captain Kirk always calls Scotty at the last minute, and he needs something, and Scotty always comes through. So today about 10:01, Jerry brought in the final piece of paper I needed today, and he always comes through. So We now have Clark Kent with Jack Shue and Scotty, which is Jerry Lee. And so look forward to the holiday party. That would be all, Madam Chair.
All right. The only time I took things personally was when you made me wear all that ugly green and gold.
That was a choice you entered into, Madam Chair. And Travis Cavula will be wearing the North Dakota State University jersey himself after ending into that Montana
set. Excellent. Okay, we have a number of items on the consent agenda. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, I would like to enter one thing that I made a mistake yesterday that I can't believe I did when we were in that meeting when I answered your questions. So I must have been intimidated by you. I was thinking about that again this morning.
I was sort of shocked. I was like, why is he talking right now?
During the hearing, Commissioner Fedorchuk was looking over here, looking at the witness, and I don't know what I was thinking, but she said, what if we did that? And I answered her question. I forgot that we're in the middle of a hearing, so I may be having a senior moment. Maybe you two will have to keep an eye on me as we approach the next decade.
Oh, it was funny. Well, it was you, not Siri, talking at
least.
Right. So. Okay. Moving into the regular agenda, I have four items. I am going to ask that the first item, JF1, which is the Highland Crude LLC Alexander Tank Farm Crude Oil Pipeline application, I'm going to ask that to be held, not held over. We want to finish this today. But I don't like the way this order reads the way it is. It's really impossible to understand. And so I've asked the staff to consolidate the changes that we're going to propose to the ALJ's order, draft order, and incorporate them into the ALJ's draft order so that we can see what the full order reads and how it's been changed. And so it's much more understandable. So we're going to have those changes made and incorporated. And during the admin, we'll schedule a quick special meeting for this, which will probably be either at 1:30 or 1:25 this afternoon or at the end of our informal hearing so we can take care of this matter. So, Danny, don't worry. It'll be done. But it'll be done better than it is right now. So I'll just make that note. Then moving on to JF2, which is the Plains Pipeline Highway 1804 reroute project. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, and Plains Pipeline LP Highway 1804 reroute North Pipeline project, citing application case number PU-15-614.
Second.
On July 31st, Plains Pipeline filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility route permit concerning approximately 8.5 miles of 10-inch diameter pipeline and associated facilities for the transmission of crude oil in Williams County. They made a couple of different supplements and changes to that application, the final one amendment coming in on September 15th. And then on September 16th, the commission found the applications complete and scheduled a hearing for October 29th, and that hearing was held as scheduled out in Williston. The project will consist of approximately 8.5 miles of 10-inch diameter pipeline. Will replace the northern portion of the existing Fort Buford to Highway 1804 6-inch pipeline. The project will originate at a tie-in point on the existing 6-inch pipeline near Marley, North Dakota, and will terminate at the Sidehill Junction block valve located approximately 2 miles northeast of Trenton, North Dakota, which is a little bit southwest of Williston. The maximum operating pressure of the project will be 1,440 pounds per square inch, with normal operating pressure at 500 pounds per square inch. And the pipe to be used for the project is steel with a wall thickness of 0.250 inches. The maximum capacity of the project will be 40,000 barrels per day, and the project is anticipated to cost about $7 million. The following agencies were contacted by Plains: U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, North Dakota Game and Fish, North Dakota Parks and Rec, North Dakota Department of Trust Lands, and North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office. We heard back from all of those agencies with some recommendations that have been incorporated into the project's plan. In in September, the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office filed a concurrence that no significant sites will be affected by this project. There are three cultural resources present within the survey area. One was not eligible for listing in the National Register of Historic Places. The other two will be avoided by more than 50 feet by the project. There are no other exclusion areas present in the survey area. In terms of avoidance areas, there's two to speak of. The first is the City of Williston Wellhead Protection Community is located within the survey area. Plains testified that they consulted with the City of Williston and the city had no concerns with the project. And they also testified that the project with proper installation, operation, maintenance will not adversely impact the wellhead protection area. So we do find that there is no reasonable alternative to the proposed corridor crossing this avoidance area. And the project will also be located within 500 feet of seven occupied rural residences. This is another avoidance area. And Plains has obtained waivers from all owners of the seven rural residences. There are no other avoidance areas in the survey area. The project will update and upgrade a portion of the existing Plains pipeline system and also increase the distance between that pipeline and both Lake Trenton and the City of Trenton. Plains testified that a supervisory control and data acquisition system, or SCADA, will be installed as part of the project to monitor pressure, flow, and temperature continuously at a control center in Midland, Texas. And the pipeline system will have the ability to be remotely shut down. They participate in the North Dakota One Call excavation system, and they testified that the design, construction, and operation of the project will be in accordance with the U.S. Department of Transportation regulations governing the transportation of crude oil, including those set forth in 49 CFR Part 195. Those are all the federal regulations governing the safe operation of pipelines, safe construction, design, and operation of pipelines in the nation. So, as I said earlier, this project really is created intended to eliminate a bottleneck in this pipeline by replacing a 6-inch line with a 10-inch line and making it a 10-inch line from beginning to end. And it also, one of the best parts of this project, which is what some of the members of the public supported, was that it moves the line out of the City of Trenton and further away from Trenton Lake, which is a real positive from an environmental standpoint. So with that, I support passage of this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add, you know, besides the good things of adding to the capacity of the pipe and moving it farther from Trenton and Trenton Lake, I hope this is one of the early ones of what ultimately becomes many of these kinds of updates, where now this pipeline's going to have all the most modern safety features that are available and the better SCADA system and everything else. So I think in the future, some of the old infrastructure that was built back in the 80s, once we get beyond adding infrastructure that's needed to accommodate our larger oil patch now, we can go back and enhance the safety of some of the existing ones and really look at this as a good project in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion?
I don't have any comments about the pipeline, but I do have comments about Commissioner Crispin saying back in the 80s, that's when I was in high school, so just for the record.
Is there any further discussion?
Just the other day.
You were there too, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the Commission deem complete the applications for Certificate of Corridor Compatibility Route Permit and further move the Commission issue a Notice of Filings and Public Hearing to Soro High Plains Pipeline Company, LLC, 12-inch crude oil pipeline, McKenzie County, citing application case number PU-15-720.
Second.
We will be scheduling a specific time for this public hearing in the admin portion of the meeting. But this is basically to notice to the public that Tesoro High Plains Pipeline Company has filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for 1.4 miles of 12-inch diameter crude oil pipeline in McKenzie County. The company has also filed an application for waivers of procedures and time schedules and asked us to have these hearings held together. This is a line that goes from Tesoro's existing main trunk line to the Tesoro Targa facility tie-in. It's a lateral pipeline. And so it's a relatively short line, and I meant to talk to staff about having a ALJ do this hearing, but perhaps we can still tackle that after we schedule the hearing date. So substantive ALJ.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Do my colleagues have any thoughts on a substantive ALJ or not for this line?
I wouldn't be against it, Madam Chair.
I'm fine with that.
1.4 miles, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We'll have that discussion under admin when we discuss the hearing date. All right, then moving over to JF4, Oasis Midstream Services, LLC, 12.75-inch crude oil pipeline. I move the commission deem complete the applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and issue a notice of filings and public hearing in Oasis Midstream Services 10.75-inch crude oil pipeline, McKenzie County, citing application case number PU-15-733.
Second.
Again, we will schedule a public hearing on this application that will be held in Watford City, and we'll determine that date during our admin portion of the meeting. Oasis Midstream Services has filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for a 10.75-inch outside diameter crude oil mainline and one lateral pipeline totaling approximately 19 miles in length. Oasis is also proposing to build three above-ground storage tanks at the Wild Basin Gas Processing and Crude Handling Facility, providing for 200,000 barrels of storage capacity. The pipeline is located in McKenzie County, and the main line will originate at Wild Basin and extend southeast to terminate at the Tesoro Johnson Corner Station, which is located approximately 2.8 miles east of Johnson's Corner, North Dakota. The lateral would transport crude from the main line to the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline. So again, we're seeing a lot of this infrastructure fill in McKenzie County, where oil production is probably highest in the state, and seeing a lot of companies just making these critical investments to maximize existing infrastructure and provide for more capacity for the pipeline system as a whole. So really glad to see these additional pipeline applications coming in.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And just for the benefit of some of the members of the public to walk through our processes, because it is a little dizzying sometimes, what happens is applications come in, we review them, we deem them complete, and we set up a hearing date. That's what we were doing today on this project, is setting a date for a public hearing. Then we go out and have the public hearing, get input from the client, the applicant, and what they're describing and proposing to do. We ask them questions, and we also hear from the public on any concerns or suggestions that they have on the project. And then after that, we take all that information, work through it, and make a decision on the application. So it's usually, you know, there's a 20-day notice for these hearings, and so it usually ends up being about 30 days by the time we have have this process. So the hearing will probably end up 30 days or so later from today. Then we'll have the hearing. It'll be perhaps a month, maybe two, before we work through all the issues and come up with a final decision on the project. And that concludes my portfolio, Commissioner Christman.
Well, I have, I believe, my thinnest portfolio of 2015 today with only one motion. RC1, I move the commission adopt the order granting license application and Standard Commodity Management, LLC, roving grain buyer, Omaha, Nebraska, license application case number GE-15-786.
Second.
Not much to tell here. Standard commodity management filed a license application to operate as a roving grain buyer in the state. The applicant projects their annual grain purchase volume in North Dakota will be approximately 2.5 million bushels and filed the required $650,000 surety bond. Standard Commodity Management notified the commission it has not operated as a roving grain buyer in the state appropriately, so staff recommends that the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Then moving over to Commissioner Culk for your lengthy list of agenda items.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I put as many as I could on consent, so I'll move through the ones we have swiftly as possible. If I start talking too fast, you can do like the recorder always does and slow me down. All right. Item BK1. I move the commission adopt a supplemental order in authorizing route and corridor modifications in Montana Dakota Utility Company, Otter Tail Power Company, 345 kV transmission line, Dickey County siting application, case number PU13-840.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In July of 2014, the commission issued corridor certificate 154 and route permit number 166 to MDU and Otter Tail, authorizing approximately 11 miles of 345 kV line from basically Ellendale to the South Dakota border. In September of this year, the applicants filed an amendment to change the route just a little bit. And basically, the company worked with the North Dakota Health Department, the SHPO, and determined there was no impacts in the rerouting request. And really all they did, I've got a map if anybody would like to have it, but there was an area just straight west of Ellendale, approximately 2 miles, where basically they went straight south and then straight east, and the landowner requested they go diagonal across the property, where initial routing was basically following the corridor of the section line, if you will. So the landowner requested to move it. It certainly made sense. So what this order does today is approve that modification.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the commission file with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission its supporting comments of the North Dakota Public Service Commission in FERC docket numbers ER14-2850 and ER14-2851. PSC comments intervention, case number PU14-738.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. We've got two motions today that have us being involved with the FERC. And, of course, many of you know, but for those that don't, the FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is basically, I won't say our counterpart, but they do what for the country what we maybe do for North Dakota. We've got shared jurisdiction, but there's two cases particular that are involving in North Dakota where because of Basin Electric joining Southwest Power Pool, it created some discussion of how Southwest Power Pool, the regional transmission organization, would deal with cost of how they deal with Montana-Dakota utilities in the western part of our state and, quite honestly, Otter Tail in the central and eastern part of the state. And what our comments today basically say is we support the settlement agreement that MDU and Southwest Power Pool have entered into, and then the FERC will make a decision at some point in time whether they agree with that settlement agreement. But a little couple highlights of the settlement agreement. MDU has had a historic transmission sharing agreement with Western Area Power, WAPA, which, of course, one could interchange with Basin a little bit. It's not the same, but basically the same kind of area. And that that agreement was expiring in 2015. And along the way, that's where Western, the integrated system, and Basin signed up with MDU. And if Western and MDU would have maintained their traditional relationship, it would have been about a cost of $6 million in transmission. And by MDU working with SPP on sharing of not sharing so much, on working out the cost allocation of transmission services, that MDU would get paid a certain amount for when Southwest Power Pool uses their facilities, SPP would be paid a certain amount. They feel they've reduced that amount in the range of $3 to $4 million. So we will see that at some point in time in a transmission rider. But it seems like the from my viewpoint that the settlement agreement that they've worked out with SPP certainly makes sense. They've lowered the cost at least $2 million. It could be more. And it also keeps the reliability of the system intact. I know that MDU and Southwest Power Pool spent a lot of time on this, as well as Jerry Lane and Victor and myself talking with different people, and I really think that our comments are very appropriate, and we'll see as it rolls out in front of the FERC what future role it might have. But this is the kind of thing, I think, like Commissioner Christman was talking about, we always got to keep an eye on what's going on in D.C. and around. We've also, you know, we have really Commissioner Clark, who sat in this desk here for a while, is at the FERC, so he knows the transmission issues very well. But I think the fact that it's a settlement agreement, I think that FERC hopefully should see positively on it, but it's a good idea, I think, that we support the comments.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just want to thank staff and Commissioner Kalk for really taking the lead on this. It's exceedingly complicated issues and really do have a lot of implications for ratepayers. So we have to stay on top of it. And so I really appreciate all the work and research you guys do and the time you put into it.
When the legislature gave us that additional public utilities person, which we're using quite heavily in the Southwest Power Pool discussion right now, too. So thank them for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, item BK3. I move the commission approve the application for deferred accounting as outlined in the company's November 19, 2015 jurisdictional cost allocation and partial funding proposal in Northern State Power Company's deferred accounting Fargo MGP project application case number PU15-514.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. And MGP is manufactured gas plant. I'll talk first about the deferred accounting. We received a request from basically Xcel Energy NSP that they be allowed to defer the costs related to the investigation and cleanup of the Fargo manufactured gas plant site that, I'll get into that more, but basically through a variety of interactions, the city, let me hold off on that discussion. Right, let's stick to the deferred accounting first. I don't want to go down that road quite yet because it's very complicated. But basically what the deferred accounting is Xcel Energy is involved in the cleanup of a manufactured gas plant that belonged to one of their predecessors that they acquired over time. This is not the first time we've seen this kind of thing, that Xcel Energy also had a manufactured gas plant in Grand Forks that they were involved in the cleanup, and MDU had one right here in Bismarck that they were involved in. So this is not the first time the commission has dealt with these kind of things, but it's the first time since I've been here that we've seen this. And what the deferred accounting basically will do, it will allow the company to take the money that will be used for mediation to put it in a, I'll call it a set aside. They're basically going to put it in a pot that as this cost accumulates, they'll put it in there and we get the cost finalized, then we'll deal with it at that time. And the current costs now are about $1.3 million in cleanup. The company is anticipating maybe another $1.4 million. So it'll be I won't say an expensive, but it'll be expensive cleanup on this. There's also potential for insurance coverage to come into place. So this really makes sense to support the company's deferred accounting request so they can put this in a pot, if you will, as the cost accumulate. And this will not be a completely shared cost throughout all of Xcel's system like we may see in other things, that based on what jurisdiction you serve. In this particular case, it looks like 88% of the cost will be to North Dakota ratepayers and 12% to Minnesota ratepayers, because this was a facility that was shared between North Dakota and Minnesota, but mostly served North Dakota customers. So Sarah's done a really nice job in this. As we've kind of peeled down a little bit, trying to get the cost laid out, that's what it looks like as of now. And now, to get just a little more on the actual site itself, we've also have the esteemed Dave Cedarquist in the audience. So afterwards, if there get to be real hard questions, Alyssa, talk to Dave, okay? Mm-hmm. But here's basically the location of the manufactured gas plant is 1150 NP Avenue and 12th Street in downtown Fargo. And the timeline that really happened is this manufactured gas plant was created back in the late 1800s to produce gas for local industries such as lighting, heating, and cooking. It was the state of the art at its time, used for many, many years. It had some byproducts, of course, that were considered hazardous, but they were dealt with with the technologies of that time. And as this unfolded, that there was an evolution of the plant. It basically got a little bit bigger. Eventually, it was decommissioned. And in 1994, this is key, the EP reviewed the documentation and determined that no further action was required on the decommissioning of this gas plant. So in 1994, the EPA did have a look at this project. So that was kind of, I guess, the end of it, if you will. But this last year that the city of Fargo was doing street excavation near the former manufactured gas plant and revealed that there was some piping that had some substances in it that they thought they maybe should take a look at. So they did some testing and determined that there was contamination in there, but it was not at a level that was a risk to any workers. But Xcel, I think, did a very nice job. Once they were notified by the city of Fargo, they started sampling the soil, groundwater, vapor, and they continue to do that now. There's still a sampling protocol in place. They notified all the local, the appropriate people. They let the PSC know, of course, the city of Fargo, the health department, everyone. They've notified everyone. They talked to the landowner in the area. They even actually held a public meeting on, of course, I won't find that in front of me. The public meeting was held November 12th. Well, that's not right. When was it, Dave? October 20th, the public meeting was held. So they certainly have been very upfront about everything that's going on here, and the cleanup still continues today. There's one more slide I'm looking for here. And so basically, you know, 1885, you go back, there was original deliberation of gas. Through the early 1900s, there was increased capacity. Production ceased in the 60s. The plant was demolished in 63. There was some buildings built in that area in the late 60s, but as I pointed out before, the EPA did have a look at this in 94, and then once the city doing an excavation basically revealed that there was some concern, Xcel has done a nice job making sure they protected the human health. They've held the appropriate meetings, and I think everything is, they've done everything appropriately on this. The motion today is just for deferred accounting, but I think I wanted to highlight some of the other questions, and like I said, if there's more questions, I'd be happy to answer afterwards, and Dave is right here. But this is one of those cases, I think, that back to my Marine Corps background, we had a lot of these Superfund sites that where business was done the way it was state-of-the-art at that time, and then when you go back in and look at it, technologies have changed, and that's what Xcel is doing now, and they'll certainly work through this, and I applaud the company for being so straightforward on this and the work they've done to this point and keeping everyone in the loop.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just a couple additional comments. I appreciate two things that the company is doing. They're looking at insurance coverage to cover part of the costs if possible. And so that could reduce the cost to customers. And also looking at absorbing some of the costs if their earnings are higher than their 9.75%. So I think both of those measures offer some potential to reduce the total cost to the customers above and beyond what the company was expecting to receive in terms of expenses in this time period. So,
is there any further discussion?
Well, just one other thing. You know, when there's mergers or acquisitions, companies that are acquiring something wind up with responsibility for what their predecessors did. And I don't know if there's really fault to go to anyone here. You know, back in the 1800s and very early 1900s, you went with what was affordable and what technology allowed, but people had to heat their homes. And ultimately, along the way, Xcel came into the business, but certainly I don't think bears the responsibility or the blame. Well, they don't bear the blame for this, but through acquisitions has accepted the responsibility. And so I think credit should be given where credit is due, but in this case, it's certainly not that this is a result of poor workmanship or poor operations on the part of NSP and Xcel.
Is there any further discussion?
I just thought of one more thing. Did a lot of work about underground storage tanks. There's law changed and you couldn't have underground storage tanks unless you changed the protocol of, but the country had a lot of underground storage tanks that over time they would leak. And then as the situation developed, you know, companies would go in and they would clean them up, do a remediation plan, and this kind of seems like the same kind of thing. There was some product in the ground for a long time, and once they became aware that the city, the Xcel's handled it accordingly, and they'll have a monitoring plan in place, I'm sure, and everything that I've seen the data is it's well below any level of concern. But so the abundance of caution is warranted, but it's, like you said, these things happen, and it's being handled.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, BK4, I move the commission adopt the order reissuing First Amended Site Certificate number 35 in Thunder Spirit Wind, LLC, Montana Dakota Companies, a division of MDU Resources, Inc., transfer of site certificate siting application, case number PU15-592.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In August of 2014, the commission issued First Amended Certificate of Site Compatibility to Thunder Spirit Wind, LLC, authorizing construction of 150 megawatts Thunder Spirit Wind Energy Project in Adams County. In June of this year, in case numbers PU14843 and PU14844, the commission issued an advanced determination of prudence and certificate of public convenience and necessity to MDU, authorizing its purchase of Thunder Spirit Wind Project. Basically, July of this year, Thunder Spirit Wind filed an application to transfer site certificate from them to MDU. And really, that's what this motion here does today, is it transfers the certificate to from Thunder Spirit to MDU. And just on a side note, the 150 megawatts is what was approved. The last, I think, MDU is looking at 105 megawatts of wind production. So today is mostly administrative in nature, but it's... It's important that everybody's aware of who owns what resources.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK5. I move the commission approve the December 4th, 2015 revised filing of Otter Tail Power Company's Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2016 rates, case number PU15-661.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. Today is transmission day at the PSC, year-end, all these riders and tariffs. In December of this year, we had an informal hearing talking about this case, and there were some different things that came out during that. First off, one of the questions we asked during the hearing, or the informal to Otter Tail, is that they update their filing costs with SPP, and they did that, so they've actually decreased their initial amount that they filed for by about $176,000. But what this does today is basically their rider for the next year will authorize an increase of $479,000. Wait a minute, that's not right. Next week's prepared cover for the... Oh, the updated is $9.9 million. I'm sorry, the true-up was the $479,000. Jerry, are we doing okay here? That's right. So there was a true-up amount plus the cost of the additional transmission. The cost basically in this involved is SPP cost, now that Otter Tail is working adjacent to SPP, and we've got actually a FERC intervention comments that the last motion. Some of the projects that these costs are incurring are ongoing projects of all the CapEx lines from the Fargo-Monticello line, the Bemidji-Grand Rapid lines, Brookings to Hampton, the Big Stone-Ellendale line is added into it. And one of the newer projects that they talked about is the Rugby to Harvey line. So there's a suite of existing projects as well as new projects that are coming online. And quite honestly, the additional costs that Otter Tail expects now that SPP is operating in the area, that's where these costs today certainly appear to be appropriate. But back to Commissioner Fedorchuk's point of our staff, and we need to continue to be engaged in all these transmission costs because they are significant amounts. So we had the informal on it. Everything appears to be in order. And the average increase in cost for the typical customer using 750 kilowatts is about 78 cents per month. So these costs continue to add up, if you will. Each one may not be that much. As we add 70 cents here and 50 cents here, it's very important that we keep an eye on this and making sure that they're appropriate costs. And these are transmission build-out costs, which, you know, the transmission grid is improving because we have more use in the state, but also the grid in North Dakota is old in some areas, and some of these are improvements in the grid that we have.
We have a motion and second. Is there further discussion?
Just a comment on this, and that is that the, as you mentioned, the transmission costs are increasing and they're going to continue to increase. And we're kind of in that build-out phase where there is replacements that need to be made and also extensions to facilitate the incorporation of, quite honestly, a lot of new wind. And that has been driving a lot of the increase in transmission investments and the increase in costs to customers is bringing on those new wind resources. and also making the upgrades to the existing infrastructure to carry more power and build in more redundancy, et cetera. So this is just going to be kind of the something that is routine. I think the customers will be seeing for indefinitely.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK6, I move the commission approve the order on electric metering and testing modifications tariff in Northern State Power Company's electric metering and testing modification tariff, case number PU15-633.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. Another first, I've never seen a change to a metering tariff till today. But in review of this, it certainly seems like a good idea. Thanks, Sarah, for putting this together as well. In August of this year, NSP filed a motion to modify their tariff to reflect changes in their electric metering testing program. For those of you who don't remember, back in 2009 and 10, we had a lot of questions about meters and their accuracy, so we've continued to work that issue, and Excel, I think, has done a very nice job of that. What they requested to do is to basically change their sampling protocol that they have some meters now that aren't tested but every 8 to 16 years, and Excel and the way they do business has asked that they basically are allowed to test these every year, develop a protocol. There'll be some that won't be tested every year, about 80 of them, but what it'll really do, it'll allow them to level off their testing protocol and procedures, and they talk about how they will be testing them according to the appropriate standards by the American National Standards. It'll literally eliminate the seesawing effect of testing a whole bunch one year and let the folks get in the groove of testing a certain amount every year. I think it's a great idea, and I appreciate Excel coming up with this idea and filing it with us. So, Dave, thanks to you and your crew. I think this is a really good idea.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK7, I move the commission approve the renewable energy rider adjustment factor of 0.0936 cents per kilowatt in Northern State Power Company's renewable resource cost recovery 2016's rates, case number PU15-683.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. And then in 2016, let's see here. No, that's not there yet, are we? This is the 2016 rider. In October of 2015, NSP filed an update to the renewable energy rider. The rider was approved in a previous case in 2014 by the commission, but at that time there were no projects involving in this rider. But since that time, the Border Winds project has been completed and come online, and the Courtney Wind Farm has started construction. So those make up the majority of these costs, which for the 2016 forecast amount is $2.16 million. The commission, we did have an informal on this. We talked about it. A variety of things are taking place as far as tax credits will reduce the amount of what this rider will cost. There's also a fuel savings, so the average customer will see an impact of about 70 cents per month addition, if you will, on part of it, but it'll be offset that there'll be about an 18 cent per month on fuel savings, so the cost to the customer will be about 50 cents per month for this renewable rider, which includes Border Winds, Courtney, as well as some of the 2015 costs that were carried over. So I think everything is reasonable, and they've certainly have shown that these are the costs that they're incurred and that have been incurred, or they anticipate will be incurred with what was incurred in 2015.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK8. I move the commission approve the revised November 13, 2015 filing of Northern State Power Company's transmission facility cost recovery 2016 rates, case number PU15-684.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. NSP has filed its 2015 update of the transmission facility cost recovery TCR rate for 2016. In November of this year, November 30th, we held an informal hearing and talked about this. The resulting projected 2016 costs, including a true-up from 2015, are $5.4 million. So as you can see, these costs are significant. One thing I would note that on this particular true-up, the resulting bill surcharge of 2016 is about 0.23 cents per kilowatt, which is a decrease of about 0.02 cents per kilowatt. So the customers currently, now their bill will go down about 12 cents per month for this year. Last year's true-up was a little bit high, so that's what accounted for the decrease in cost. So there are additional projects coming online as well as the ongoing CapEx projects. But one thing I want to highlight is that Xcel Energy Northern States Power serves a variety of the state, but most of the work that we have in front of us is dealing with Fargo and Grand Forks. But in this particular transmission rider, there's a project that helps out Minot. It's called the Minot Load Serving Project. Actually, Xcel will be building a substation in Minot, and they'll be coming in front of the commission sometime next year to cite, it'll be two things. One, they'll probably ask them in for an ADP and maybe a PCNN, as well as we'll more than likely have a siting hearing for 19 miles of transmission from the Velva area into Minot. So just wanted to highlight that we have Xcel doing transmission throughout the region, but there's a project in this next year's suite that is particular to Minot, and it really help beef up their liability in the Minot area, because not only does the rural part of North Dakota continues to grow, our cities grow, and we've had a lot of discussion with MDU about growth in the West, but this is talking more about Xcel's growth in the Minot area.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just wanted to comment on the overall agenda, including several transmission cost recovery riders. And so we're approving one for NSP and Otter Tail. And then we've got the Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Rider, which is intended to help companies recover renewable investments in renewable generation resources. And then we have a generation rider on for MDU, where we're having a hearing. And I think this is probably the most riders we've ever had on in one agenda since I've been here. And the riders, I think, are a good tool that the commission, that the legislature allowed, and the commission allows then, when the companies request it, to help the companies recover costs that aren't maybe large enough to warrant a full-blown rate case, but allows them to collect those and increase costs in a timely manner without going through all the extensive filings required of a rate case. And so, well, I think they're a good tool, but I also appreciate that we review these riders really carefully and make sure that we understand what's being accounted for in the riders and what customers are paying for. And I think that's why we're calling for a hearing on the generation rider in the next one that's coming in, because we need to have those really good discussions with the companies, make sure we understand what the investments are that they're making and how they're charging back the customers for those investments. So it gets a little confusing for customers on their bills, and even kind of confusing for our meetings, et cetera, to keep it all straight. But there is some order to all of this, and I think it does make sense. And I think ultimately these things will move into rate base and out of the riders long term, and that's where they belong.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, maybe I agree with what you said, Commissioner Fedorchak. Maybe just additional thoughts on it. When I first looked at the riders, I was very skeptical. I thought we should roll them into base rates earlier. But the longer I work with the riders and work involved with the MISOs of the world and the Southwest Power Pool of the world, I really like the riders, because then the suite of transmission projects that get rolled into the riders, we know they're coming because of the work we're having inside those RTOs for build-out of new projects. So if we don't like something coming, we can get involved early. If we're not reviewing it every year, it can be very challenging. And then as we do these true-ups, sometimes, like we just saw in the last motion, you actually get a decrease in cost because of our watching it very closely, where if it was rolled into rates, that decrease in cost wouldn't benefit the customers annually. So I think it's very good for us to be involved in the renewable riders as well as the transmission riders. As you pointed out, the generation riders, I'm much more skeptical about those, because I think those are more of a fixed cost. But it is very confusing to have all these riders, but I think once we get back to, like you said, the transmission renewable riders, it's a little simpler.
I do think the downside to the riders is it doesn't allow us to look at the overall earnings of the company, and you don't have the big picture analysis that you get in a rate case. And so that's what you lose by using the riders, but it does give us a more narrow focus on what they're needing recovery for. And a good analysis of those expenses, so I like that about them as well.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, moving on. BK8, I move the commission approve the revised November 30th filing of Northern State Power Company's transmission. Wait a minute, didn't I just do that?
We did that one.
All right. Geez, that's two mistakes in the same week, Julie. What's next?
Three strikes, you're out.
Three strikes, we're out. Okay. I think it's the pressure of the Bison football game tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Usually I don't expect those games till Saturday. Now I'm already distracted with the Friday night game.
Uh-oh. Throwing everything off.
I know, right?
Start your pregame routine earlier.
Maybe that's the problem. All right, let's try this again. Item BK9. I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in Montana Dakota Utility Company's application for an update to the Generation Resource Cost Recovery Tariff and Rates Case Number PU15-704.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. In October of this year, Division of MDU Resources filed an application to modify the tariff and rates for its Generation Resource Recovery Rider. This rider was put into place when Heskett came online as a generation resource. And in the meantime, the reciprocating units up at Lewis and Clark have also been approved by this commission. So the cost here, roughly $9.8 million, $4.7 million for Heskett, $4.5 million for Lewis and Clark. And as Commissioner Fedorchak pointed out, this is one of those where they requested a generation rider, and that's what their request is. But this is something I agree with that we should not be having in an informal, have a formal hearing, flush this out, because this is one that maybe this rider doesn't get approved and we request them to come back into a rate case, because these are generation power. It's a different mold. And the cost here for the average customer, if approved, would be $2.03 per month. So this is about the same amount that we had in a previous rate case dealing with gas, but it's a big amount. So the public hearing this matter is scheduled to begin February 4th at 9 o'clock in the commission hearing room. And so we'd encourage members of the public to attend if they have any concerns, and we'll see if we have any interveners in this case. But I certainly think it's very worthwhile to flush this out, and I will say that's why this is giving special status, because I'm not as sold on the generation rider being in place as I am on the other kind of riders.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, two to go. BK10. I move the commission file with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission its motion to submit comments out of time and comments of the North Dakota Public Service Commission in FERC docket ER-16209 SPP PSC comments intervention case number PU15-740.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. The comments today basically were supporting Otter Tail's comments to the FERC, and this also ties back to the joining of Basin Electric and WAPA to Southwest Power Pool, but this goes down a little bit deeper. For over 60 years, Otter Tail and Central Power have had a relationship where they do joint planning of transmission products. For those of you who don't know where Central Power is, basically their main office is in Minot, but Central Power does the transmission for, you know, the rural areas north and east of Minot, south of Minot. They've got a nice sweet spot. They do quite a bit of transmission planning in the state, and they touch Otter Tail in many different places. And so over the years, if there was transmission built out, sometime Otter Tail would build it, sometimes Central Power would build it, and it resulted in a patchwork of who would own what. But it worked out as a very good system to reduce costs in the past. But as we get into the integrated system, Otter Tail and Southwest Power Pool have been unable to work this out, where I shouldn't say that. Otter Tail and Central Power have been unable to work this out, and Southwest Power Pool, of course, is tied into this because they're the RTO that Central now belongs to. Otter Tail's major concern is that they're feeling that because of this, they're going to have to pay twice for transmission services, so they call that the pancaked rate, where the annual impact to Otter Tail's customers is about $3 million for their service area. Of those costs, 40% of them would be in North Dakota. And I should also note that in this motion today, we would be filing comments to the FERC supporting Otter Tail's position. And I've been in contact with my counterparts in Minnesota and South Dakota, and they also are filing comments today in support of Otter Tail's position. So this is not just North Dakota saying we support Otter Tail. It's North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. So while we just had a hearing yesterday how we may have differing viewpoints with Minnesota on generation decisions in areas of transmission. We're in agreement with Minnesota and South Dakota, and they're also filing comments that basically mirror our comments. So certainly support this motion today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
And finally, last but not least, item BK11, I move the commission suspend the tariff filing, assess a $10,000 filing fee, and issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utility Company, a division of MDU Resources, Inc., 2015 Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU 15-747.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In this particular case, in November of this year, MDU filed its annual update to Transmission Cost Recovery Rider. There would be an increase in cost if we approve the rider as it is of about $1.85 per month for the average customer. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 26th of 2016. If no one requests a formal hearing, the commission can do so in an informal. We have reviewed this rider in the past, but in this particular case, I'm guessing that the increase in cost is because of the Ellendale to Big Stone line. There's an MDU portion of it. Also, SPP costs that I talked about earlier, where the SPP settlement agreement between MDU lowered their costs from $6 million to that $3, $4 million range. That's still $3, $4 million of cost that they'll need to include in their transmission rider. As well as Scotty pointed out to me, the Kenmare to Lignite project is a 115 project for reliability. Not jurisdictional for siting, but it's one of the costs that they're going to be talking about in the informal, if no one requests a formal, and that's about $11 million. Also, they double-circuited a 60 kV line around the Williston area, so projects beefing up the local reliability. Also, there's a substation built northeast of Williston, so a lot of these reliability kind of projects that we talked about, so we'll look forward to the informal or if someone requests a formal.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. That concludes my portfolio, Madam Chair.
Well, excellent. Okay. Let's go through a few announcements here. Yesterday we had a formal hearing with NSP on settlement agreement that they've filed with the commission to take care of some outstanding cost issues and provide a pathway forward on some others. We have a formal hearing. Our next formal hearing is in early January on a Sakakawea pipeline project, and January 12th, and so we have about a month off before we have any more formal hearings. So giving time for our staff and all the staff that we work with to celebrate Christmas and get to and fro. And then we have a number of hearings set up in January and February, along with some various MARC meetings and NAGARUC meetings as well. So the winter will be busy, no doubt. That concludes this part of the meeting. We'll open it up to any questions from the members of the public or media who are here. You're not required to ask questions if you don't have any.
I mean, I'm just still trying to get a grasp on everything that's in
there. Hey, Alyssa, it's the same for me too, and I've been here a while, so. Yeah.
It is. It is a lot, and we do offer Stacy up to you to do sort of like a PSC 101, just to go over some of the procedures that we have and the terminology and that sort of stuff, because this is not.
That's like the most.
Yeah, and she can help you translate what we're doing to what it means to the public, mm-hmm. and to help you kind of weed through everything, because it's daunting, and it's not anything that any normal person deals with on a daily basis. It just doesn't. But what we do affects a lot of what people yes. care about on a normal basis, like warm homes and warm showers and cold food, so to name three.
Then if you need help translating things that Brian and I say into ways that normal people would say it, Stacy can help with that too.
So. Yeah. exactly. Okay, well, let us know how we can help you. We do appreciate you coming and trying to weed through it, and I do think with maybe another month or two, you'll be able to weed through this, the stuff that doesn't matter to what you really want. So, okay, with that, we will take a maybe...
Closing comments?
Do we have closing comments? When did we start that?
I used to do it, but you've never let Randy and I do it for the last year.
I think we get enough comments. Do you want to say something? All right, closing comments.
Randy, I did talk about that because, you know, we used to do that under the old guy.
Well, we're cutting to the chase.
Well, thank you. Two closing comments. First of all, going through 11 motions in his portfolio, I couldn't help but observe that when Commissioner Kalk really gets on a roll like that, he has a lot of the natural skill set for being an auctioneer. And so if he got some more training and went and talked to Shell, he could probably get licensed and pursue that as well.
Think I could get bonded?
You can really say a lot of words in a hurry. I don't know about those details, but you certainly have the natural gift. Lastly, I want to make a prediction. Just, you know, in deference to our predecessors who used to make predictions at the end of the year all the time. And we have a lot of interesting things, I think, coming up in 2016. Of course, all races are interesting and important, but when there's political races with no incumbents, it seems like they're particularly interesting. And next year, we'll have races like that for the presidency, for the governorship, for auditor, and now for state insurance commissioner. So a lot of interesting things happen, but I'm going to limit myself to one. So I'm going to predict right now a fifth in a row national championship banner for the Bison.
Oh, yay!
Way to go out on a limb, really. All right, do you have any closing comments?
Yes, Madam Chair, I've been waiting for a year to get a closing comment.
Well, this here's your chance.
No. As Randy predicted a fifth championship, I'm not going to go down that road, but I'm going to predict that Commissioner Fedorchak does not win for the fourth year in a row the trivia contest that she always wins. Think we can beat her tomorrow, Randy?
No, I've been studying.
So maybe that's a bad prediction, but no. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I thought you were going to say not win my reelection.
Oh, no, no.
And I was going to say, this is why I don't allow closing comments.
No, I completely support that.
All right, we will take a 10-minute break. We'll reconvene at 11:20 for the admin portion of the meeting.